Greetings, everyone. This is our Freedom Club USA call of February 4th, 2014. And we are so blessed to have a very special guest back again, Catherine May, a.k.a. Lady Portia, as some of us have known her or are getting to know her. She is a most gifted individual, and Joanne normally has a good background, and I don't have that about you, but maybe you could tell us about that little pinching of the toe thing that kind of woke you up one day. Catherine, give us just a bit of a background on yourself for our new visitors.
Okay. Well, a couple of elements led me into this work. One is I was trained as a psychologist and, of course, made every effort to develop my empathy and my ability to tune in to other people. And then I spent 30 years studying visual centering, which is a method of to help focus and balance in order to operate right in the center of your brain, in the zone, as the athletes call it. And the more I did that, and the more I studied it, the more psychic I became. And so eventually I found myself, after 30 years of therapy, hearing voices. And so I began to wonder, you know, what was going on and who this was that was sending me messages. I would get various notifications, like I would hear the same song playing over and over again in my head. And eventually, I would be awakened in the middle of the night. Usually it was about 3 a.m, with a sharp pain in my right, my second right toe. So it was always the same toe. It was always the same pain. And initially it was always in the middle of the night. And I would wake up with a start and hear, "We have something to tell you." And I learned very quickly, go get the computer, sit up, take the message, and try to stay awake while they would give me the message. And then they asked me to post it on the internet. So I have to admit, the first couple of months, I was a bit reticent to come out of the closet, as I called it, to let everybody know I was actually a psychic medium, given that I'd been sort of not talking about that. It wasn't exactly the kind of thing that most psychologists do these days.
Or at least won't admit it.
Yeah, or at least don't admit it, right. But it's becoming, you know, more commonplace as more and more people are awakening and more people are doing this kind of work to raise your vibration, to really get tuned in to the people around you. And as you do that, you begin to develop your intuition. And the more you develop your intuition, the more psychic you become. So it becomes a process where more and more people are beginning to be able to tune in to their guides, their masters, angels, and so forth, Mother, Father, God, and whoever else they feel an affinity to. So it doesn't seem to be so unusual anymore, which is a good thing. So I'm now in New York. We've been on tour for a little while. We called it the Healing for Ascension Tour. So we've been a group of mostly women so far. Several of the women were traveling with me, and we've been around the country. I was asked to combine the visual centering, the channeling information that I get from Mother, Father, God, and sometimes Prime Creator and Saint Germain and others, with a healing approach. So we've used all of those methods to help people heal medical problems and to raise their vibration. And as people begin to raise their vibration, they begin to heal from their medical problems. So it's a whole approach, because the more you raise your vibration, the healthier you get, the more tuned in you get, the happier you become, and the more connected you are to God. So all of these methods that people are now learning to do are really working, really work together, and it's all for the same purpose, really. Whether we all get a lot of money or not, we all want to ascend. So that's the real goal.
Absolutely. And as we heard from Mother, Father, God recently, they too are ascending and have taken a new challenge. And so it's not just the third dimension, it's the entire universe. There's a continual flow, it appears, of ascending beings from one challenge to the next, and one learning experience to the next, and one vibration to the next. So, wow.
Mm-hmm. From the way they described it, it seems as if Earth and what we're doing here is a sort of catalyst that sets the spark going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard on one of the calls, I think it was in one of yours, that they viewed the Earth as kind of the heart of the universe. I've been before. And I've actually tested well. What's your impression of that? Have you heard that before?
Yes, I have, that the whole universe is watching us. And I think it's because in our contracts before we came here, in the councils with all of humankind and those of us who incarnate over and over again here in human bodies, we came to an agreement that we would all ascend together. And it's the first time that this has been tried on a planet. Usually when a planet ascends, people will be taken off the planet, and then the planet will ascend. And then those who are at the right level to return and live on the planet can do so. But it's not usually this system that we've devised. So apparently we're pretty ambitious.
Yeah, we break the rules.
What did you say?
We break the rules, we make the rules.
Huh? Right, yeah. We're known as the creator race. Because, I think, because of this, that we devised this plan that really sounds completely impossible, you know, when you look around and think, oh my gosh, how are we all going to do this together? But people are awakening. It's more and more all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from the way it seems on these calls, those of us who are really working hard and listening and learning together are going to be the ones who will come back and help. Probably most of us have already agreed to that. That we're studying hard right now so that we can come back and help the others ascend. So it wasn't that we're all going to go at the same moment, but we're all going to go in waves. And every single one of us will eventually ascend. And I have a feeling that those who are in the last wave are going to have about 6 billion people helping them. Plus all the mentors and the galactic brothers and sisters who are coming to help us.
Now, I had a chatting earlier about tonight's call with the group, and we were thinking about it as we go in different waves, we'll call it, and we'll see how many that ends up being. I had intuited perhaps even 2 waves, but it sounds like there could be many more than that.
Well, it could be many, yeah.
Yeah, it could be many. But the point is, when the first wave leaves, will a hologram replace them, or are we going to see a lot of empty chairs?
Oh, this is very interesting. I've asked about that too. What I was told is that because in the higher dimensions there is no time, you could ascend, you might be walking across the room, and go to the higher dimensions, go through your the light chambers to be restored and renewed, go through a period of training to learn how to manifest, and manage it, you know, control what you manifest. Very important part of the training.
Yeah.
And then return and finish walking across the room. Because there is no time there.
Well, when you return, would you be returning in that older body or that renewed body?
In the renewed body.
So in the blink of an eye, it would appear somebody would have transformed to the observer.
Yes, in the blink of an eye.
To the non-ascender, it would appear to be an instant.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
If you choose to do it that way, I think.
And what's plan B?
Pardon me?
What would plan B be?
Oh, I don't know. I guess you could be gone for a while. You know, if you don't want to miss a beat, you could just come right back.
Well, that would shock a few people walking across the room and suddenly you're 20 years younger or 40 years younger.
I like that idea.
But on the sender, it might put them into a little tizzy.
I think that's the point.
Yeah, you're next, fella.
Right. Look what you're missing.
Yeah. There you go.
I think it's going to be pretty easy once there are enough of us who've come back and said, you know, this is pretty terrific. You should try it. I think there will be a lot of takers.
One of the questions we were going to ask tonight, and maybe you have already asked it, so we'll just toss it out there, is what... let's see, where is it here now? I just slipped my mind. I'll have to go back to my notes. Can you, where are you now? Well, I lost my thought here.
You mean there was a question on the call earlier?
Well, on when we were having before this call.
Oh, on when you were having, okay.
Kind of related.
Related to ascension?
Yeah, hello. Do you remember what that was?
Yeah. It's
topic.
For you said that there will be waves. Does that mean there will have to be a number of people that will then go into the next wave, or can people go individually? And is there anything that actually triggers when that next wave would go?
I don't know the answers to those questions specifically, but here's the gist that I've gotten. We talked about it last week, and Mother, Father, God said they're waiting to ascend until it's the right time. So apparently there is a sequence of events, although it is an individual decision. So it's like, oh, we're all going to go together as individuals. But it's each person's choice and each person's work to raise their vibration so that they're ready. So when we proceed through the energy filters, we're at the right vibration to be able to proceed. And that's an individual. That's individual work. But apparently, there is a plan, at least for the first wave, that a whole group of us are going to go together. And I think that's partly because you can imagine how the effect, you know, how powerful the effect will be if a whole group of people go together or at the same time. So I think we'll be told, okay, you know, today's the day. You're going to be allowed to ascend now.
We might get a toe pinch, huh?
Yeah. Well, I know that a number of times I've already tried it, and I got pretty high into the vibrations, and I was sent back. Not yet.
You got more work here.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the plan is we're going to go in a group.
The first group actually went about a couple months ago, 542 to be exact, which I did confirm with Prime Creator.
And
it was a small group, I don't know, maybe a test group, whatever the reasons, but they've gone, and they left behind holograms in their current state. They would not, even the holograms wouldn't even know they have left. It's that transparent to them. So they're continuing to do their work anyway while their higher self goes through the regimen you mentioned. At some point, they will merge to act together as one. Perhaps at the time the first group, the first big group goes.
Mm-hmm.
They're helpers, I suppose, getting, you know, the ascended masters must be getting a little tired by now. This is a huge job they've undertaken, so I think a little help was well needed, perhaps, to assist on what is forthcoming. That's just my best guess at it, is why they have extracted that first group.
Oh, maybe those are the ones that Father God was speaking of as the plants, you know, the people who are in place in various institutions and
mm-hmm. yeah.
helping with the RV and
sure.
those kinds of things, possibly. He also, Father God once told us that those that have gone earlier were, many of them were indigenous people who were already operating at a high level. So,
I confirm.
No, I'm not familiar with.
Yeah. I'm aware of a few that have gone in that first group.
Yes? You know some?
Yes, I am. I had not tested the indigenous, but I did a good read on it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking, so I think you're correct there as well. So it's a hybrid, a combination of folks who are, whatever the reasons, we're in the high enough vibrations. We do measure, actually chart it out each week, you know, where the world vibrations are and
uh-huh.
in our club and different countries. And our club is well ahead of any country or the world. But a number I was given, and Master Lady Nada had confirmed that with me a while back, around 2,000. When you reach about 2,000, I mean, there's other, if you will, requirements, but that was one. It's kind of the threshold where you need to be in a vibrational. This is just my numbering scale, so that's
the
difference. It's similar what David Hawkins did, Power versus Force. You might recall that book.
Mm-hmm.
He had kind of capped it at 1,000 some years ago. Well, we're well past that. At that time, that was probably the limit, but we've blown the top off of that. And so when folks get right around that 2,000 level, they're now, if you will, at the threshold.
Mm-hmm.
And by then they have their 12 strands and, you know, all the other elements required. So anyway, just a little background for our listeners as well. Well, what an interesting time on planet Earth.
Oh, my. To say the least. Mm-hmm.
Some of the questions that came forth from our earlier visit was, well, one was around financial, and, you know, if you need to call on your helpers, by all means, you know, you tell me when on any of these questions, but you might be, you know, aware of some of these things. But one on the list, of course, relates to financial, because it's been a nail-biter for a lot of people for a long time on the financial reset. and the delay, a delay, a delay, and people wondered, well, Amino Prime Creator has taken control for some time now and says this is going to happen, and I absolutely know that. I guess the when, yet as we heard, I think maybe on one of your calls, we could have forced the issue, but we chose not to. It's not our way is kind of how I interpreted that. What's your take on that?
I think that was their position until very recently, maybe even today. As far as the financial systems go. Because and now it's a combination of things, though, because the things that Father God was talking about tonight were how we need to take action. They always prefer that we do it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about it, that's way better. Showing our own muscle and making this RV happen is really a wonderful thing for humanity, because in the wake of that, all the people who've made it happen and who have invested in this are going to be giving the money away. And what better way to help those people who are not awake to learn that there are people who can be trusted, there are individuals who really want to help, there are human beings who are good. If the Galactics just came in and took over, you know, and changed everything and fixed it for us, what lesson would we learn?
Exactly. Yeah. My take precisely, I've spoken in very similar words, the very thing. And that's the hard part, to get folks to, one, wake up, and then two, it takes action. It takes awareness, and then it takes some action. You have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not be a lot. It may just be whatever is in your circle of influence. You know, just reach out, touch a few ears and hearts and souls, and in your own way. It may be a simple smile, as somebody said, for someone, but others are in positions, key positions, to make things happen and influence them. So it's a combination. My last read was 78% now of our planet is accepting ascension. That was 42% about 6 weeks ago. Isn't that amazing? How far?
Terrific.
Yeah. I mean, I was talking to Ashtar one day, and I said, what's the magic number? You know, he says, 59%. I said, really? We were at 42 at the time. And we've been going up about 1% a day. And I'm pretty close to that. So 78 is awesome. And it keeps going up. So that is, we're past the threshold. So we're ready on that score. So
very interesting. Yeah. Do you think that, does that specifically specify people who are using the word ascension and that know what that means?
I believe it's more on their higher, maybe their unconscious self has agreed.
Uh-huh.
Their conscious self may not quite understand like you or I might, ascension, or at least at a higher level. I'm just testing as we're talking here to see what I get. I don't think they really have it necessarily in their consciousness.
Oh, okay.
Deep in their heart, it's a green light. And they're not perhaps profounding it or professing it, rather, as you do, for example, in your teachings. But that's enough. It's enough. They know somewhere in their body that something is telling them it's time to move on.
Yes, I find I really like doing this. Anytime I'm at a checkout counter or, you know, talking to the person at the grocery store who's checking out my groceries, people will say, bless you. or have a beautiful day. And I always say something to them like, you've noticed things are changing, haven't you? You've noticed that vibrations are rising.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say yes. So then I say something about it, you know. We're all going to ascend, or go read the websites. And they go, yes, I'm going to do that. The guy I rented a U-Haul truck from yesterday, you know, and the movers that came to help. Wait, everybody is speaking a different language.
No.
And if you really listen, you'll hear it. You'll hear the openings.
Wallace, you've been touched recently, too, by energy shifts and changes in your life. Are you seeing similar things happening in your life?
Oh, well, you know, I'm just on a roller coaster. I just go where I'm asked to go these days, you know, whatever comes up. About 3 weeks ago, Father God called me up and said, have you paid your rent on your apartment yet? And I said, not yet. It was like, no, actually, it was just before the end of the month. And I said, no, not yet. He said, well, you'll probably want to give up that place. So I came back from California, packed up my New York City apartment, and moved back to my home and the Mid-Hudson Valley. When we got back to New York, we had the most exciting groups. People came who were wonderful masters, and many of them just like looked at each other and they walked into the room and started hugging each other. It's like, I've known you forever. Who are you? You know, it was just amazing. So things are really happening fast. So I just go where I'm asked to go.
I was asking Lois, too. She's becoming quite intuitive. And what are you noticing in your life, Lois? What's going on?
Well, one thing that I noticed, even when I went to the grocery store in the last week, there was a lady walking in, and there was an elderly lady who was leaving, and she had a couple of bags and she was going to carry them to her car, and before I had a chance to even get there, she said, would you like some help? I can help you in taking those to your car. And the elderly lady just kind of looked at her first with shock and then said, thank you so much for asking. These are lightweight, I can carry them, but thank you so much. And it was wonderful to see something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That it's taking place. And it's very, I could tell it was very heartfelt for each one in the giving and the receiving, even though it didn't take place, but the offer. And it's truly a gift when people do it, and it's nice to see it happening more and more.
I see it all the time. I had an incident yesterday, too. I was walking up to the, you know, the place where you tear off a bag to put your vegetables in, and another woman and I got there at just about the same time. She reached out and tore off a bag and handed it to me with a big smile. Those kind of things are happening all the time.
Yeah. What do they call those random acts of kindness?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've seen more of that. Well, we got a big thing coming up called the Reset, of course, and then there's this thing, Nasara, which is to be announced, which will bring forth the new governance, rid ourselves of the IRS. Aw, shucks, huh?
Yeah. what a shame.
Mm-hmm. What a shame. Well, rest in peace. The other part of that, of course, is switching over to the new financial system, the gold-backed one run by what I'll call the White Hats. And I think that's all going to be bam, bam, bam. Once the reset is done, it's going to be very quick and Well, Nisara really incorporates all these elements we've mentioned and more. This has become a global phenomenon, not just the United States, where it was passed during Clinton's era, you might recall, in 99. How do you see that unfolding? Any clues? Is it still up in the air how this is going to happen? The sequence, is the U.S. going to start it? It's going to be a joint venture? Or is the Galactics going to be the ones to come forth and say, knock, knock, we're here? We're not waiting any longer. We've heard that, too. What's your understanding of all this?
Well, I could call in Saint Germain to answer that question. From what I've sensed recently, it's as if the timeline has speeded up. So there's not going to be a whole lot of time between events. The RV and the disclosure announcements and the landings are all going to happen in fairly quick succession, relatively. I mean, you know, the RD was going to happen, the RV was going to happen last year, of course. But we're not talking about 10 years. It's, you know, I don't know what relatively quickly means, but I have a sense it's a few seasons and we're going to see just enormous changes. So I don't think that Nisara is a separate event. I think it's evolving already. I mean, all the conditions are falling into place. The, you know, it's as if the earth had to be plowed first.
Well, actually, Nisara has officially, quietly, but officially been released by the, somebody, I think it was Roberts of the Supreme Court, maybe a month ago.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? And
all people.
Well, that was the conditions, you know, twice a year they had to, you know, make an attempt to announce it, and so they finally, you know, got around to it. Perhaps he had a bayonet in his back. I don't know. But he did it quietly enough so that they actually could officially do some things, like prepare the new governance, you know, for readiness, which is ready to go, the common law, sovereign based on original constitution under common law. The Treasury actually has taken over the Fed over a year ago, and so that, and their last fall, their official license expired. They yanked it early because they had failed to do some things. So they're technically gone. The IRS has been a stubborn one, though. They just don't take a hint.
Right. Well, they have all those people working there, you know, who just insist on showing up for work.
Yeah, darn. Didn't you get that pink slip? Obama has tried his best, as I understand, to put them away, but they pretty much trumped him. And to show you the power, you know, well, of course, the cabal backed him up. So, you know, they stared him down, and so he couldn't quite get it done. People don't understand he is of the light. Many of our folks do, but he's a hard one to understand, playing two roles. You know, he has to look dark to the dark ones and ones. So he confuses a lot of people, and he's a mystery man for sure. Very complex job he has.
Yes, but, you know, about once a week there's an email that goes around accusing him of being the devil itself, you know, and that he's working for the cabal and he's assassinating people and so on. And, of course, those emails are probably initiated by the cabal.
Yeah, we don't post anything negative on our site. I understand who he is. We've chatted, he and I, numerous occasions on the higher realm for years. And so I do understand the man very, very well. And his wife, two beautiful light beings, who are playing a very, very difficult role. In fact, he joked with me one day, I think it's okay to share this. And he says, just recently, he said laughingly, he says, Tom, he says, I had no idea this was going to be this difficult.
Oh, I'm sure. did any of us?
Yeah, exactly. And
I think we're very ambitious when we set out, you know, from the other side.
Ambitious or crazy?
It's a fine line. Well, it looks exciting and interesting, you know. I think I'll go down there and pitch in.
Whoops. I'd be love to chat with St. Germain and give us, you know, his rendition of the his assessment of how things are progressing, and you know, and even the club. We know that we are part of the solution here, and we will come into play, as I see it, as soon as the new financial system is engaged. Once we're on the good guy system, we'll call it, the windows will open up for us for funding at the club level.
Mm-hmm.
And that is my understanding, and we have certainly laid the groundwork for that to happen. So if you'd like, maybe we could address a few questions or get at least an update from St. Germain. Would that be a good, appropriate time for you?
Yes. Okay, here he comes. I feel his presence. Give me a second. Greetings, everyone. Yes, I am delighted to be here to talk with this very enlightened audience. You have all done your homework, so it's fun to talk with you because you know about what's going on around the world, and you know my name, and you know of my work, so I don't have to fill you in on the basics. It has been such an exciting time. Well, you know, eventually the excitement does wear off a bit when we're doing the same process over and over and over again. And yes, those that we had hoped would respond graciously to a little arm twisting have proved to be extremely reluctant. Bankers, especially, you know, are inclined to be rather rigid people. Well, they have rigidly avoided doing anything generous, and that has created some difficulties for us, which, of course, we prefer to respond to with creativity and resourcefulness and actually some pretty fast footwork. We've been successful at every turn, but most folks don't really know what those turns have been. Let's just talk about the most recent dilemmas, let's say, that have come up. Many of you are familiar with the large banks and their tendency to throw their weight around. Well, they did form a rather solid front and agreed amongst themselves that they would refuse to allow the RV until they were given a bigger slice of the pie. This was completely unreasonable, of course, because they don't have to do any more work to offer the contract rate than they would to offer the market rate. But from their point of view, they saw these large numbers and began salivating. It was rather unattractive. And they decided that they would simply hold out for a higher percentage. And they have, as they do tend to do, designed about 100 different ways to steal a part of what their clients were supposed to be getting. So that when, you've heard about the secret trades, of course, so when they ushered their friends in to do secret trades, they always made sure that they got a good percentage of it themselves. Well, they had such a good scheme going that they thought they would just keep it going until they had all the money in the world. Well, of course, they weren't aware that we were watching behind the scenes and have records of everything that has been done. Not very hard for us, as you can imagine. So they have been caught with their fingers in the cookie jar. And there are going to be consequences. A number of those people, of course, were your Congress people, both parties and both houses of Congress were guilty of dipping into the pot over and over again. Some of them signing up their dog or their dead grandmother and so on so that they could take their share several times. And then spread it around to all their friends and relatives so that they were all trading at fairly high rates amongst themselves and many putting them in Swiss bank accounts, trying to hide the money. Well, it's pretty hard to hide a transaction of several hundred million dollars. And so we are completely aware, and those accounts have been frozen. And there will be consequences. Also, there were many folks who had designed various kinds of instruments. You probably are familiar with those. Special loans and various kinds of clever IOUs, basically, to hide the money while the bank would actually hold it for them. Well, those have also been tracked down and will not be allowed to stand. So we have a lot going on, and many very talented and dedicated people who are watching closely. Now, the one thing that they really completely ignored was the fact that it would be very simple to see who was cheating and who wasn't by who traded early while all of you are waiting. Well, we know who is waiting and who already pushed to the head of the line, so it won't be very difficult when it comes time to prosecute the people who have not only broken the law but have behaved so unethically that it's really extremely distasteful. Because, of course, this whole process was designed to help the people who are not rich. And so it shall be. It is unfolding. I want to reassure all of you, we really did say to each other yesterday, it is done. My work is done. I was so certain that it was going to be declared finally. Well, I'm afraid I have been fairly certain before. But this time, everything was falling into place. And when I say everything, I mean all around the world. Arrests are being done. People have been put on notice. There was the threat. You know, the Freedom Club is a tremendous threat to the people who think they are in power. And Tony and his group, growing so fast, really did raise some eyebrows. They are now paying attention to what Tony and his group are doing because of the threat of a revolt. Well, we have been told by Father God, and I concur, it is time for people to come out into the public eye and expose what has been going on. There is a very good letter that has been posted by now, I would bet. Our dear Lady Nada will have it on the website, so all of you can copy it or change some wording, put a sentence in the beginning that will make it unique. Handwritten letters are wonderful. And the more people that send these letters out to your congressmen, the congresspeople and the senators, this will have a tremendous impact. And there are going to be some very red faces. So, oh yes, there was something else I was going to tell you about. The bankers, the banks themselves. We had originally begun working with the larger banks because, of course, they're the ones we want to catch in the net. And it was a while before those working with Tony and the people in what we've called Dinar Land were allowed to be onto this, but it was part of the contract before everyone came. It was those who invested and who raised their hopes and their vibrations and who thought they would be able to use the money to give to others and change the world. They are the ones who were used as the bait. The more Tony talked about it, the more the group grew, the more enthusiastic people became, the more the large banks began to think, ooh, this is too good to miss out on, and there must be an angle we can use to get in on this and get all our friends in on this, of course. It worked. This is why all those in power stepped forward to elbow their way in front, as we expected. And so many in the 13 families have been caught red-handed. That was the plan. It was not an accident. Of course, we regret that we had to continue to promote and to lead people forward, but we know that in your hearts you understand. We knew that in your hearts you would forgive us encouraging you, promising that it was going to happen, it was going to happen, it will happen soon. That was initially the way of getting those who were inclined to do something dishonest to do it and get it over with so that they could be arrested and taken out of the way so that we could proceed with the real exchange, which was for the light workers. And so the light workers were doing double, triple duty. Without all of you, it could not have happened. And so it has come to fruition. The plan has worked. Now it's just a matter of pushing it over the top. We thought that had happened already, but there are just minor details left. Minor. And a little bit of higher vibration, a little bit of pressure here and there, and it will be done. Now you have been taught to declare it is done. Picture it finished. You're celebrating, you're having fabulous times with your friends, enjoying the bonanza that will be wealth for everyone who deserves it. And even everyone who didn't know about it. It will work. And very soon, since the galactics are very involved now, very soon the disclosures will happen, with or without the help of the governments who originally had been willing to do this. If Obama is not willing to do it or able to, it will be done anyway. And so very soon you will be seeing the disclosure announcements, and along with that will come the changes that you were referring to, Tom, the Nisara changes.
Mm-hmm.
All will unfold quickly. And it is going to be a big celebration. Did you have any other questions?
I'd like to, Saint Germain, welcome back. You've been such a regular guest on our quantum energetics calls, and I want to honor that and thank you, along with Lady Mary. But it's so good to chat with you directly. It should be great to do.
Thank you, dear friends.
And you have been so kind with your generous time. The if you could take a peek into the what we call the paymaster for our guests, we just call it that. For our club funding, we have put in place a pathway once the new financial system is in place for our club to be funded both through the AR process and the GSA both. So there's really two channels there, but they go back to the same paymaster. And from my understanding, that is, they're just waiting for the new financial system to plug us into that. Would you confirm or take a peek at that and give your assessment if there's more work to be done or if things are as they should be?
You have worked very hard. You've dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's. You've studied all the conditions. It is like the fisherman who has baited his hook with all the right appealing substance for the fish. The fish is swimming down the river. It's just a matter of flow until the fish bites. You have done everything you could possibly do to make this flow as it should. You are aware. You're constantly alert to the changes happening. You've done wonderful work. Everything is as it should be. I see no reason why your dominoes should not fall exactly as they were planned to, along with all the other dominoes that will be falling at the same time. Does that answer your question?
Indeed, thank you. In specific to the World Court, both the U.S. and Canadian, we have the GSA process in play, about 160 either there or en route, primarily to the U.S., but some to Canada, and we understand those have been reviewed and, in fact, dispersed to many of the banks as defendants, or the IRS, or the judges and the courts. Could you assess that for us?
I'm following the energy patterns you describe. I haven't myself been in those particular reviews.
Mm-hmm. We do have an intermediary. It stops in Washington, and then it's forwarded on to the world courts from there.
Mm-hmm.
Both the U.S. and the Canadian. But I had picked up about 20 earlier last week. About 25 had been reviewed and dispersed to the defendants for their response. Perhaps more have since then. And maybe you could assess if that is accurate or if you've got different numbers.
I see around 40.
Okay.
And the wheels are turning.
Okay. We understand they have about 20 days, the defendants, this case, to respond without an attorney back to the courts for them to make their final determination, of which we believe it'll be a tribunal type of decision. And an assessment made from there. Does that appear to be accurate?
Yes, that does appear to be.
Okay. And does it appear favoring, based on our claims, that these will be favorable to our members in most or all cases?
I would be very surprised if they were not all approved.
We have one unusual one, and that includes the FDA, the HPOS, the homeopathic pharmacopoeia, and Eli Lilly, one of the drug companies. And I believe that has put in play as well.
That is a more complex case, is it not?
Yes, somewhat. They've removed some key ingredients from their approval list, and it has harmed some very valuable products that have been helping people. And it's going against one of the giants, of course, the drug companies, and the FDA. No small operation here.
Right.
And it's kind of a tester just to see how we can break open their grip on the FDA and their control. So I'm wondering if that is in motion as well and has been distributed to the defendants.
I don't believe it's been distributed yet. There are personalities in play. This is a very brave operation. This case, there have not yet been large numbers of successes taking on these people, but of course it depends upon how quickly we can remove those at the top who are creating the most difficult problems. I believe it will be successful.
And I see this as kind of a lead, a tip of the arrow of what could come, because if we are finding this is a successful pathway, and I believe, like you, it will be, we have folks like, Monsanto, Dow.
Yes.
That would be in line next for the GMOs. The chemtrails, all the nasty things that are being put into our environment, they could become very much our next targets.
Absolutely. And these are folks who are becoming reckless in their arrogant interventions.
Mm-hmm.
It will become easier and easier to prove these cases.
Well, you see the direction we're going, and, you know, there's probably a whole list that we could come up with. We know that they have been, I think by your words or one of them to Catherine, one of the channels had mentioned Monsanto specifically would be shut down. Well, perhaps we can, you know, use our slingshot here.
What a wonderful image that is. Yes, indeed. I encourage you heartily to continue your good work and to encourage those people you're working with to forge ahead because the time is ripe.
It felt right. I was certainly compelled to go forward with this, and we appreciate your encouragement and all the support your team can provide us as well.
Yes, indeed. And we have more people all the time who are signing on to help.
Speaking of more, I'm understanding the first 542 have ascended from Earth as a we'll call elite group. Can you confirm that as well?
Yes, that sounds like the correct number. These are individuals who have been placed in very unique situations, many in undercover sorts of operations.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few other, well, strategic, you might say, positions that people are filling at this point.
So in their ascended mode, I understand they've left behind a hologram, so their Earth presence would appear to be normal and continuous.
Yes.
So there's like two essences of them, which one day will, I believe, merge together as one again?
Well, this is true for everyone, you know, your higher self and your body. This is not a different case. It's just a matter of where the energy is focused.
Okay. So then these higher, well, we'll call it the ascended beings that have ascended, are they then assisting, much like the ascended masters? Are they part of that team? Which is
yes,
that?
Indeed, yes.
You guys could use the extra help, I'll tell you. You've been busy.
Endlessly. I have told people that I am not really all that interested in money. It's only because of the effect on people and the great need for this terrible situation on planet Earth to be turned around that we decided to use, you know, play their own, beat them at their own game, you might say. And in order to do that, you have to take over the money. Well, that is what we became involved with. And it has dragged on now for thousands of years. So one would think that I was really enjoying this banking and finance part of the work. But in fact, I would rather be a healer. I would rather even be a stand-up comic. But when this is done, there will be time for that.
I heard your humor the other day with Catherine. You were pretty sharp. You were most witty, and you surprised us all. You do have a knack.
Oh well, yes, I can't resist sometimes.
The question was asked to us earlier. How would for those who are, let's say, preparing, and all of us are for ascension at some level, I suspect, what suggest one do to help raise their vibrations to prepare themselves best for the upcoming ascension?
Oh, there's a rather clear pathway. Prime Creator has given us the Ten Commandments for ascension. That's available on in a number of places. The Hollow Earth Network website, I believe, has it featured prominently.
Mm-hmm.
There it clearly specifies to be in command of yourself, your feelings, your thoughts, and your actions at all times is the goal. And to create the atmosphere within yourself of joy, happiness, resolve, determination, generosity, truthfulness, and especially the willingness to be of service to others and to increase your faith. When you can do those things and be mindful every minute of every day, you are ready. This is why we have been presenting the messages, why Sananda came forward to provide the new scriptures, which are inspiring and uplifting. This is why Sanat Kumara came to teach the visual centering, which Catherine is now continuing. It helps people who are good at meditating, but who need a little help to get centered and remain there while you're walking around. That's really very necessary. If you're going to ascend, you have to be aware while you're awake as well as while you're sleeping or while you're meditating. This is the goal now, to be mindful and aware, balanced, alert, and wide awake. And at the same time that you can see all the things that are wrong in the world, to maintain your balance, keep your vision focused on the goal, which is ascension, which is a joyful denouement of this project, which is the uplifting of planet Earth. When you keep that in mind at all times, foremost in your mind, you can work through the day-to-day difficulties and know that every step of the way, you are creating the new golden age. As long as you know that is your project, that is your goal, you will create it. For yourself and for others. That is my suggestion for now.
And most appreciated. The composite energies of humanity, as I understand, are influencing things like toilet on our planet. We have HARP and, of course, other nasty things that are going on that have manipulated this, but humans also are really controlling the weather, and the chaotic weather, we might say, is a condition of humanity's chaotic thinking right now as we are getting into alignment with ascension. Could you comment on that, please?
Yes, indeed. There is certainly a correlation, although it is not a one-to-one correlation. It's not only humanity, that is affecting the weather. It also is part of Mother Earth's cleansing process. So there are many variables. You know, the animals are also taking part in this. The creatures of the sea, the trees, the flora, all the flora and fauna on the planet are a part of this. So there is a tremendous interaction that's taking place now. And as the energies increase, the interactions become more and more complex and more powerful. So, yes, a great deal of the chaos now has to do with chaotic thinking, but it also is the interplay between a number of things, actually. Mother Earth's need to cleanse herself, to begin that work even while we're still here, and the rising energy of humankind and human thinking, and the work of the galactics, who are now very much involved with the cleanup processes. So it's all a matter of interplay between those things. And there are times when it creates a kind of, well, you know, the work in physics about chaos. The chaos is not really chaos. It is change. And there has always been tremendous change. Now there are many more powerful influences and variables interacting. It will level off with intermittent, you know, some hurricanes, some volcanic eruptions, some droughts and floods. But given what's happening now, it's really fairly mild. If the Earth were really reflecting all of the chaos in people's minds, it would not be livable. But many of you have raised your vibration enough to counteract much of what would have happened had this ascension process not taken hold. It would have been far, far worse. I think you can see that as well.
What about the interferences? We know about HARP and others, systems like it worldwide. We've heard different stories. They've been shut down, and then everything be active again, and then we still see chemtrail planes flying around, and we know that you were working hard with your team to dissipate those. Is there a way we could just get them grounded? That's blank. Shut down HARP? I mean, is it taking attention of humanity to do this? Your opinion on this, please.
Well, certainly the awareness that people are expressing is helping a great deal. You probably know of the campaign that people have been writing letters to the Navy, the Department of the Navy, and to the various centers where the sonar has been developed and being used and tested. This has been very effective. The Navy and the Department of Defense are very much on the defensive, as you might say, trying to explain how necessary their programs are and how absolutely this may create some difficulty for some of the the mammals of the oceans, but it cannot really be hurting them that much. Well, no one is taking that as gospel anymore. So recently, the Department of the Navy received something in excess of 100,000 handwritten letters. Well, you can imagine what those bags of mail must have looked like. It is very effective. And they are stuttering to try to cover themselves. But you can imagine that those with their fingers on the button are hesitating and postponing their tests and thinking much more about whether they can actually get away with it rather than simply ignoring what people think. It's working.
Now, we need to do perhaps the same with the chemtrailers. I believe that's primarily the Air Force. The U.S. Air Force, I believe, is managing that project, or not?
Well, there are also private organizations that are taking part in this, the secret governments. Yes, the Galactics are working very hard on neutralizing both the chemicals that are used and the ones that are dissipated in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly it has been eliminated. Now, they did manage to get through this recent round. They did manage to get some of their chemicals into play, but it is being neutralized very quickly. So it will not have the toxic effect that was intended.
Is there a center point of attack, such as with the Navy, a counterpart to that, that we could direct letters or actions? Is this decentralized, or is it more centralized, the origins of these flights?
I think your idea of writing to the Air Force would be a very good thing.
Okay.
And, of course, they are expected to have oversight with these kinds of things, and they won't like being blamed for it. So you can be sure that those who actually do have some influence over these things will find the pressure very uncomfortable. These are supposed to be secret programs.
Right. I can see another world court action coming out of this, too.
Yes, indeed.
There's a two-pronged attack.
A letter campaign would be very effective.
What about the HAARP? What's happening there with the HAARP energies that are amplifying storms such as we had with Katrina and others? Are they still messing with us?
They've been mostly discouraged from the secret programs. You know, these were funded through secret channels under the Obama administration. This has been largely cut off, so they're not receiving the enormous amounts of secret money that they were able to siphon off. You know, the war in Iraq didn't actually cost $9 trillion. Much of that money was funneled into many of these secret programs. They were used to being treated as if they were an invisible and very powerful force. There is much more in the way of disclosure And as soon as we have the actual disclosure, all of these programs will cease immediately. There are still fits and starts, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
Those who were not the reptilians themselves, but the ones who were trained in the thinking, the paranoid thinking and the arrogance of the reptilian attitude, who are still trying to have an effect. This is, I'll try to explain our approach. We do not assassinate people, as you know. We work in much quieter ways. This two-pronged approach where the people on the ground are writing massive numbers of letters along with the help from the Galactics to help clean up the effects of their nefarious sorts of work is being very effective. You cannot leave it all up to the Galactics, you know.
The inhabitants.
Yes. Yes. So definitely do your part. Have your members write letters to the Air Force, to the Navy. And when you write to the Navy about the cessation nation, have them mention your concerns about the Mer people and the dolphins and the whales. They're very embarrassed about the fact that people have discovered that there really are mermaids and mermen.
Mm-hmm.
And it forces them, every time they get a letter, they have to deny it. Well, if they're denying it 100,000 times a day, it's going to get pretty tiring for them. The same with the Air Force. If hundreds of thousands of people are writing them letters about HAARP and their intentions to poison and disrupt the reproductive systems of everyone on the planet, or to sicken everyone to make sure they all get cancer. It's going to be rather embarrassing for them, don't you think?
More than that.
Yes.
Okay.
They are, you know, in equal parts, arrogant and fearful. If you put the pressure in the right place, those who think they run the world become frightened children.
Mm-hmm. Stand up to the bully.
Yes. Keep up the pressure. And I would like to say to you and all of your group, you have been on the forefront. You have been courageous in your work. You're courageous in your questions. You're truly on your path. And it is such a pleasure to see. And it's such a pleasure for me to be here. We are truly one. And when this is done, we will have an enormous party.
Your place or mine?
Both. It belongs to all of us.
Sometimes.
And there truly will be a new golden age on planet Earth. And most of us will probably linger long enough to enjoy it for a while. And then, you know, once everyone has raised their vibration enough, you hardly need names, you don't need introductions. we will all recognize one another. It's all easier.
You're saying and, the energy patterns?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Colors, energy patterns. Your inner vision. We will know each other immediately. And what a pleasure that will be. Thank you for your invitation. I'm sensing that perhaps we've answered most of the questions.
I think we have done a magnificent job here, and thank you so much, Saint Germain and Lady Portia. That combination is awesome.
Well,
the of the two of you together is quite a treat.
We look forward to the time when we can be in the same dimension once more.
Indeed.
As all of you, I think, are probably looking forward to. The time when we can all be with our twin flames. And that will be part of the fun of the landings, you know, when everyone gets to meet their twin flame again. What a reunion that will be.
Well, here's an interesting question for Saint Germain, for you. Some of us are twinned or multiple souled. So then how does one determine their twin flame? Do they have multiple twin flames?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, that will be interesting.
So you will, each soul has their own twin flame. So when you finish a life having spent time as a multiple entity, your souls will go back to their unique position and rejoin with their twin flame. It's not that complicated.
Except for someone who is a combination soul, you know, two or three souls or more, that was where it got interesting. Then each of those separate parts would just find their soulmate. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
You're familiar with, it happens very frequently. You're familiar with when Jesus came.
Mm-hmm.
There were three souls involved.
Mm-hmm.
Each of those souls had a twin flame. And each one, the twin flame, was with Mary Magdalene.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lovely combination. This can happen. And then, you know, at the end of that life, each soul goes back to their own work and their own twin flame. And you take on another project. There are also times when a soul may come and go, or where various souls may work interchangeably. It's not as rigid a system as one might think.
Mm. I've witnessed that up close with someone dear to me, and I'm also aware of others. We call the walk-in often, or...
Yes.
And then, what is it, the other ones, the walk out?
That's right.
Take a little vacation, huh?
Yes, indeed. So that, you know, we can be working on several different projects at the same time. And so when it's appropriate, we can be interchangeable. Why not?
Yeah, why not? We are, as I say, unlimited beings having a limited experience and now waking up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let's get her done.
Exactly. You know, if there is well, we call it the Jesus Project. There have been many others like that. If there is a project that needs to be accomplished, you bring in the people who have a special affinity for that kind of work. You know, if someone is to be a diplomat for a while, you bring in the ascended master you think will be the best diplomat at that point, who has had the most experience, for instance, in that kind of thing. And then he may go off to do something, or she may go off to do something else, and another one will replace that being. This happens fairly frequently when there are those people on the planet that we think of as the movers and shakers, or the ones that are seem especially talented in various kinds of things. It's because they're getting a lot of help. It's a lovely system, really.
Well, we enormously enjoy the higher perspective. We sometimes get lost in the the day-to-day problems of life, and we forget how beautiful it can be and will soon be. And it truly is at the moment if we see it that way.
Yes, indeed.
So thank you for sharing. You bring such great energy to a call in St. Germain as does Lady Portia. I really enjoy having you both here.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure.
Absolutely.
I speak for both of us. It's part of our work. We speak for each other.
Well, you're an awesome team.
Well, thank you. And we'd be happy to come back anytime.
And we will take you up on that. Thank you.
And I hope the next time we don't have to talk about the RV again.
Maybe that was.
We will be talking about what. Remember the good old days when we made the RV happen.
Yeah, exactly.
And thank you for your good work.
And thank you. You're so welcome, and appreciate you so much.
And to all those on the call, namaste, all.
Namaste.
And farewell.
You feel his energy when he's here, and yours too. I mean, you guys are awesome together. And
thank you. This is Catherine.
No, you're back. I'm just tingling. I know I asked all the questions here tonight. I didn't give anybody else a chance, but I had my list, and we covered everything. I think on the list here, and I hopefully covered
good.
The basic questions that others may have had. But that was fun. I love that.
I like it too. I did a session the other night where he was particularly funny. And I don't hear everything exactly. I feel the energy, and I just kind of get the gist of what's going on. But there was one point where everyone was really laughing, and I realized he had just said to people something about finding a job. And he said, that the people in the room had not spent their lives trying to climb the ladder to become executives, and of course they've noticed that because of that it's nearly impossible to get a job because no one wants to hire them. And he said, take it as a compliment. And it turned out that most of the people in the room were struggling in one way or another, either had just lost their jobs or had quit corporate America entirely to, be healers.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's not easy for those of us who already decided we were going to give away all our money or we didn't want to do that anymore. So since this RV has dragged on a bit, there are a lot of people who are just hanging on by their
fingernails waiting for this to happen. So can't be too soon.
And of course, waiting and wanting are all is an energy that says I don't have it. So then flip it around as we try to encourage and, you know, see it in the now and intend it. You know, it's a more powerful energy, I find, than words of that nature. You know, bring it into the moment.
Oh, yes, and picture all the things you're doing with it, you know, the changes that are taking place because of it.
Yeah, we have alone 100 groups of benevolence, just categories of benevolence, and within those there's probably 100 of each of those of ways.
Oh, wonderful.
Seeing the monies, and they've been out there on the site from day one, really. You know, people are very creative with what they're going to be doing with their resources, whether it's from the RV or from the club funding, you know, a combination. But awesome times ahead of us here.
Oh, I can't wait to see what all of your people do with this wonderful blessing we're going to get.
Yeah.
It's going to change a lot of, I mean, it's just going to change what goes on. And I haven't been thinking about it this way before quite so much, but it came up recently that it has to be us who do this, because otherwise how are we going to have an effect on the ones who are coming, who are just coming awake? You know, it's not going to be the same if some galactic being who looks a little like us knocks on your door and says, you know, I'm changing your government and here's some money.
What?
Just wouldn't be the same, you know, as your neighbor saying, I'd like to help you.
It'd be funny, hide the kids, you know.
Yeah, right. There's a strange-looking character at the door, and he's asking us if we want money.
Yeah, and he has a bag of money.
Right. No, it just wouldn't work the same way.
Well, it always was our job. You know, we created this by allowing it, and that's mm-hmm. our job to awaken and uncreate it or recreate something better, and we're doing it.
And look at this wonderful opportunity you've created. I mean, people who belong to the Freedom Club know each other. You know, they really feel they've joined something of real importance, mm-hmm. and they belong.
Well, and also your inner, am I going to say this right? The Inner Earth Network? Is that?
Yes, the Hollow Earth.
Inner Earth, Hollow Earth.
Mm-hmm.
The same way, you have an incredible following on there, and now maybe they haven't interacted quite as much as our folks do, because we, you know, we are usually one-to-one or eyeball-to-eyeball out in the field very often, and your folks may not have that opportunity other than the phone call.
Oh, well, that's why I think we were sent on the road.
There you go. Yeah, mm-hmm. I used to do a lot of road work, you know, hotels, get a room and get a gathering of people, and we kind of got away from that in recent years, but we'll be doing that again as we get into the funding cycle and get out there with folks, and, you know, they'll be looking
mm-hmm.
for miles, I think.
Yeah, well, that's what we were doing, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And people do have that feeling. It's a family.
Well, absolutely. And it's funny, we had some of our folks have been with us, I call it BC, before club. Ray and Sandy, Sandy's one of our directors now, and even before the club was formed, I was just stirring in the bushes looking for, you know, the answers, and I was looking for somebody else, you know, hoping somebody else had figured this out, you know, how to beat the system, and finally, you know, I said, well, darn, I guess I'll have to roll up my sleeves and do it myself.
You know, must be me, huh?
It's kind of like your world, right? You said one day, well.
Well, okay, I guess I'll put up this website and start talking about this stuff. Mm-hmm.
Well, anything else you'd like to share with us tonight?
Oh, goodness. Just the excitement and the pleasure of all this. I love doing these calls because I just want to hear what other people are feeling and thinking about this, but I want to reassure everyone that the contacts I've had with Saint Germain are that it is happening. Not to worry, not to have fears, just keep your hopes up, keep your faith, and just enjoy the ride. And whatever you do, don't let yourself get frustrated. Don't let yourself get discouraged. Just keep envisioning it, and we're there.
Do you have a little time for some questions from our group? Or do you have a guest?
Or do I have a guest?
No, are you out of gas, I said.
Oh, out of gas. Oh, I never run out of gas. Actually, I moved last night. See, I have a U-Haul sitting in my driveway, and I had a lot of help from wonderful people. People just showed up like magic. You know, we pulled up in the U-Haul and said, okay, now someone's going to show up to help us. And lo and behold, here came a friend who helped us drag all our stuff into the house and, you know, start to get set up. So I just, like, get on the wave and ride it.
Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give a PIN number, and we have joined lines right now. We're going to ask people to come over to the regular number, 404-920-6610. I'll say it again, 404-920-6610. And you'll need a PIN number, so don't leave yet. The PIN number for tonight will be 419-333. Again, 419-333, and then your pound. And once you get over to the new line, just star one and ask Catherine your question. And we'll give them a moment to...
So you have them call in on a different line.
On this night, we do because the calls get so big, we can't get it all on one conference line. So we have a backup line, and then we invite them over for Q&A for those
questions.
Home bill, too.
The other night, we can usually manage a phone call. And I'm going to go to here. And that will
be here they come.
Yeah. Let's hurry.
All right, and when you get here, star one will put yourself in the queue, and we'll get to your questions here one at a time. Hi, first name, who's with us?
Hi, this is Marlis.
Hi, Marlis.
Hi.
Question for Catherine.
Marlis.
Hi, Catherine. Hey, I'd like to ask, what do you find to be the purpose of the chemtrails, or is it multi-purpose?
Oh, well, my understanding is that they're designed to disrupt our reproductive systems and to make people sick.
Okay, because I there's just so many things. I mean, I know that the amount of aluminum in the soil and in, like, the snowpack has gone from one part per billion, which is normal, and one part per billion, or 1,000 parts per billion is toxic, in that it's all the way up to 60,000 parts per billion,
mm-hmm.
is what I've heard. And I was wondering if that was part of it, the toxicity, and also the Morgellons. Is that where supposedly where the Morgellons is coming from?
Morgellons?
Morgellons disease.
Oh, well... Probably. The ones I'm familiar with, of course, it's Alzheimer's. And a lot of these toxins just disrupt our brain functioning.
Aluminum.
Or are supposed to.
Yeah, aluminum in particular does break through the blood-brain barrier, one of the few that will.
Mm-hmm.
It creates clusters, and that's your dementia, Alzheimer's, Well, that's what my son went through, as you might recall. And the, yes, Margellan's, or Margellan's, however it's pronounced, is, I'm picking up intuitively that, yes, that's absolutely the source of it. They've been changing the formulas, and they keep mixing it up, and, you know, over the years, they've done a lot of nasty things. And there's some nasty viruses in there, too, which creates a lot of lung problems, people breathing problems.
And also radioactive waste.
Well, that's the newest gig that we're hearing, but I believe that either our galactic friends are neutralizing that very effectively.
So don't eat the snow when it first falls.
Yeah, that's what they say for sure.
Don't eat not just yellow snow. Don't eat any snow.
And they're saying soon, it looks soon, that we can speed things up by getting involved ourselves, but you don't think it's going to be 3 months down the line? It might be sooner?
By getting involved, you mean writing the letters?
And no, for the RV and things like that.
Oh, yes. I think it's going to be very soon.
Yeah, it's certainly hard to tell.
Yeah, well, of course, we were told it's going to be any day now for the last 6 months or so, but that was part of the sting operation. And that's been very successful, so things are really moving. It's not that they thought it was going to happen right away and it didn't. It's that that was part of the sting operation. So from our point of view, it seemed as if they didn't know what they were doing, you know. If they kept saying it was going to happen and it didn't, but that was part of the plan.
Okay. All righty. Tom, can I ask you one quick question? I just noticed when I pulled up tonight on the line that they're asking for the $300 membership renewal for the members.
Right.
And I know I've brought five people in, and they don't even pull up the site. So I was wondering, is the club needing that from all members to make a go of it? Is there a way to do it on a best effort basis?
Well,
or?
The whole article, if you're in a struggling situation, send a note off to contact us. That's we know some are able and some are not.
Okay. Now, what about the people who don't even know about it, and if they don't pull up the website, are they going to be dropped off?
We'll have an email method we can communicate to folks just to keep them in touch with what's going on, and of course they'll want to know how close we are to funding anyway, and all the new things that are happening. So we'll get her done. You know, that's what we're here for. We didn't come to fail, came to win.
Right, but people aren't going to lose their membership if they're out of contact, are they?
No, we're going to give everyone an opportunity to awaken, if you will. You know, a lot of folks came in years ago and they lost touch with whatever. You know, they move, change jobs, and, you know, their lives get interrupted, and we understand. So, everybody's going to be welcomed back. But those who are active, or if you will, or we can reach, we'll get the word out, and those who can will, and those who can't won't.
Okay. All righty. Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Hi, who's with us?
This is Fran.
Yes, Fran. What's your question for Catherine?
My question is for Catherine, who mentioned several times before that Tony was doing this and responsible for that and doing this, that. Who's Tony?
Oh, Tony calls himself Tony TNT, and he's the one who put up the website Stage 2 Omega and has been sending out information about the RV. He was chosen to be the representative who would be in contact with those who are really involved at the top. And he has been sort of playing both sides in this sense, a lot, in a way similar to what Obama has done, where he was asked to create this website to put out the information to get everybody interested in the dinar and the, you know, the other currency exchanges in order to attract the attention of the cabal, as well as to attract the attention of light workers.
He was asked by who?
Prime Creator, Father God,
oh.
Mother, Father God.
Okay, one last question. I just redid all my PIN numbers and everything list today for god-awful amount of websites. But there, I have two listed for this guy. I have Stage 2 Omega that apparently I did first, and then there's something called Omega 2. Are they the same thing?
I'm not familiar with Omega 2. I think it must be Stage 2 Omega.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know. Then thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you. Let's see who's mm-hmm. next here.
Yeah, Tony's job was a very specific one, to create the interest
mm-hmm.
and to get people investing.
Hi, who's with us now? Go ahead, caller.
Hello there. Hey, Tom.
Yes.
Good evening. Thank you for everything that you have done. And
first name.
I have enjoyed your call for the last 9 years.
Okay.
Anyway, Catherine, this is Cynthia in Tucson. Good evening.
Hi.
Hi, hi, sweetie. You know, I have a question about your twin soul, because I've heard you refer to them, and I'm just wondering, well, and I heard Tom ask about, you know, if you have two or three souls going on, blah, blah, blah. But so the thing I'm curious about, like, are they always the opposite sex of what you are now?
That's a really good question. Usually.
Okay. Well, I'm just curious because I know I've been on the other side of the fence many times, as Tom has told me. But no, I've also had memory of many times too. So.
Oh, well, that's true of both twins, both halves of a soul. We reincarnate as male and female. But generally, we come one at a time. So there's one incarnating while the other one is holding the fort, you know, in the higher dimensions. Sometimes. I'll tell you the way it was described to me. When a soul is created, God throws out a spark, and the spark divides into male and female, and then male and female soul elements, and then you incarnate in various forms. You can come as male or female, but there are actually 13 sexes.
Mm-hmm.
So we can, not just two, we can incarnate in any form. So we can incarnate in any form, but eventually the goal is to come back together. And when the two halves of a soul have lived a long time and many lifetimes, you get close to coming back together as one, then you can have a lifetime together and not, you know, be scratching each other's eyes out, because, of course, every foible and every annoying difficulty you might have, your twin flame will also have. So you have to practice a lot, you know, and then
mm-hmm.
when you've lived a lot and you come back together as one, you really become one soul. And that is androgynous.
Uh-huh.
So there are quite a few now, incarnated now, who are ascended masters who really are androgynous.
In the 80s, my therapist said that that's the way our population was moving to androgyny. Which
mm-hmm.
would be just being able to balance the male and the female within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Catherine.
Okay.
Thank you, Tom.
Okay. Have a great evening.
You too.
Hi. Who's with us?
Hi. My name's John.
Hey, John. What's your
question? How are you tonight, Tom?
Great. What's your question from?
Hi, Catherine. How are you today?
Hi. Fine, thanks.
I had a question about past. Like, I've always had a past that I've either come from, like, Asia or, like, China or Mongolia. And I was wondering if in your dreams, would that come back to you in your dreams? Or might it not come back?
It depends on how open you are. Yeah, dreams are a wonderful way. A lot of times I think that's how we get information. Meditation, you know, if you meditate.
Mm-hmm.
For a while I was doing a lot of past life regressions and using hypnosis. And that's
okay.
Really fascinating way to re-experience past lifetimes. And you can do it in meditation as well, which is really what hypnosis is. It's a really deep meditation. So you can ask your higher self, your unconscious, whatever you call your higher self, you can ask your higher self to please put on a play for you, you know, do a theater piece and let you re-experience a past lifetime that your higher self thinks would be useful for you.
Okay.
To know.
Okay.
And you'll be surprised what you'll be shown. And just say, I'm open to it. I really want to see. I really would like to know where I've been, what I know, so that I can use it to be of service to others. And as soon as you add that, you will get all kinds of information.
Oh, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to try it. And Tom, can I ask you a question about that, the renewal fee?
Go ahead.
If that's something that you can't meet the terms right now, would you lose any of your ambassador status, or what would happen with that?
We're going to cover that on tomorrow night on the ambassador call in detail. So
why don't you
tune into that? We'll go over it in full detail.
Okay.
What we have in mind, and you know, we're trying to be as fair and honorable with everyone, but also we have a job to get done. So you know, we'll find the balance point. It'll work out.
Okay. Well, I'd like to thank you too for taking the time.
You're so welcome.
And have a great night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, who's with us? Go ahead, caller. You may be missing your end.
Hello?
There we are. Who's with us?
Hi, this is Betsy from Michigan.
Hey, Betsy. You're live with Catherine.
Hi, Catherine. How are you?
Hi, Betsy.
Yeah, I was...
What's the question?
Yes, you said that something happened, I think, as early as today that made you take more of an active approach with the RV. Do you know what that might be or what could have happened that spurred the activity?
I'm not sure I know what you're referring to.
You may have early on the call that something even today, as recent as today, that things have kind of stepped up to make sure this happens a little quicker. What were those details, how much that is?
Let's see if I can remember the context.
I think Jermaine was talking, and yesterday it was done all around the world.
Was this part of St. Germain's conversation or mine?
Before that, you had made an introductory commentary. I think that's the one I remember.
Yeah. Let's see. What was I referring to? When I talked to St. Germain yesterday, he said, my work is done. And I'd never heard him say anything like that before. So it seemed to me that there was a big shift. But as far as, now, is your question about?
What were the details, I think, you're looking for? What specifically happened, if you were aware?
One of the major things that happened, I think, although all of this has just been in process for such a long time, but I think the recent influence that really has helped to put it over the top is that there are a number of second-tier banks and smaller banks that may be included in the contract rate. So this was Plan B.
You know, I just reached out to my bank just Monday, I guess, over the weekend. I sent an email to my banker, and I said, hey, you know, some info you might want to pass along to your, you know, folks. And he was, you know, very accepting of it. And it's, you know, a regional bank, and trying to do my part to spread the wealth a little bit.
Right.
And
I did the same thing this week.
Yeah, I heard you on your call. You mentioned that one.
Uh-huh.
That you inspired me. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I think that was what I was probably referring to, that it feels more comfortable now to be taking that action. And also, since Tony has been, today, Tony was given the go-ahead to really start a revolution, if that's what's necessary. And I think I kind of felt that wave coming, and started talking more openly to bankers about what's going on and what part are they going to take in it. So it just all feels like the energy's building, and it's time for all of us to get out there and just push it. So I think we've reached a tipping point. And hearing St. Germain say, my work is done, was really kind of startling. Okay, does that mean my work's done? That doesn't seem to be the case.
Let you hold
them
back.
This is more like a handoff.
Couple of those guys on vacation. Huh? We heard about Father God taking a vacation. Well,
right. Yeah, I think they're all getting ready to take a vacation. So I think they've just, you know, handed it to us.
Those rascals.
And Prime Create.
There's a few things I don't understand. You say the sting operation that needed to be done, but was there not another way to do it without harming people who had nothing to do with it? From what I understand, many of the bankers and elite people have committed suicide in jails, and I just think of their families, their children. Some of them have small children, and they will have to go through life without a father. Have you, did Prime Creator ever take that into consideration?
Well, there is mercy, because we're really close to the end of this incarnation. So, no, these children will not grow up without a father. because they're all going to ascend very soon. And if their fathers were really criminals, should they have grown up with a criminal as a father, you know? Maybe there really is justice.
Right, yeah, I hadn't thought of it like that.
And then you can put it the other way. How many homes have they destroyed?
Right.
And how many families have they destroyed that kids now have grown up without their parents because of a divorce and, suicides because of home loss, job loss? So the lesser of maybe the two evils, you might say, in this one way. Was this the path of the highest path to take? And I would think our Creator would know that.
Yes.
So I would say this was probably the optimal choice. And if someone takes their own life, that is, of course, their choice. And
certainly is not the Creator's choice.
No, precisely. It's free will still. And if someone is killed, oftentimes that is also a pre-agreement by those people. Not always, but sometimes it is. So be careful when we judge. It's not always what it may appear on the surface.
Right. Yeah, the beginning of your question. Oh, the sting operation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really the reverse of the way you described it. You said, couldn't this have been done without hurting people? This whole thing was designed to help people. The sting operation was something that all of us agreed to before we came here. We knew we were going to be part of this, and we knew we were going to invest in these currencies and take part in this whole financial shift, although some of us may not remember it. That was part of the deal. And then we were to be the decoys for this operation that was designed to take down the cabal. So our part in it was absolutely necessary. If we hadn't agreed to serve this purpose, you know, to be there, to be talking about it, to be getting our friends involved in it, to be the light workers who are to change the world once this currency shift occurs, it would not have been possible. It was part of taking down the cabal. This was not just so that we could all get some money. That's not why we all invested in this. This was truly so that we could change the world. And in many more ways than we knew. Politically, socially, as well as financially.
Health, religion, there's a whole...
Religious, too, yes, yeah. Spiritually. Mm-hmm.
Well, I go on Tony's calls, and I can just hear his frustration as to how the common people are being treated. Is that part of the plan to treat the commoners as commoners?
Wait, you heard whose frustration?
Tony, TNT Tony. On his call, he's very frustrated at everything that's happening since, I think the official RV date was December 2nd, and the official international rate was December 31st. And here we are still waiting in February, and he's very frustrated.
Well, there are many levels to what Tony's doing. And he also is a very good, he's very good at stirring up people to action. And that's part of his job, is to get everybody to now create a rebellion. And if he weren't really concerned about the issues, he wouldn't be, nobody would be impressed and nobody would be inspired. So it's part of his job to point out how hideous this is and how wrong it is so that people will take action. This is not just an intellectual discussion, you know. It's really too bad that people have been starving across the planet for hundreds of years on purpose. It's time people really started to understand that we've been used, and it's time to take action. So that's his job, and he's doing a good job of it. So, you know, some of us channel, some of us do the financial background work, and Tony is out there creating a revolution. More power to him.
And if he stirred you up, then he did his job.
Yes.
That sounds okay. Like he did a good job.
Yes. Yeah.
All is in order.
Okay. One last question. The Kim cells. Why would they want to destroy our reproductive system?
I can't hear you. Why is it?
Why would they want to, the chemtrails, why would they want to destroy our reproductive system?
Because they can.
I'm sorry. You caught me off guard on that one. That was too easy.
Well, it's unfortunate that they treat us the way they do, but I guess it's just like you say, it is what it is. It's just so unfortunate.
If you've got more people to control, of course, it's a lot easier managing, let's say, a few hundred million than 7+ billion.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons, the second is they see the world as lack. We have only so much resources, and, you know, we're all useless eaters, as Kissinger said once. getting rid of these useless eaters, it leaves more resources.
Mm-hmm. More for us.
Who are left. And, you know, that's kind of the mindset of a negative lack, negative viewpoint of the world. That's what they've been taught by the Anunnaki and through the cabal, you know, through the history. That they were on their mission. And they played their part actually extremely well. If you,
mm-hmm.
if you wanted a true adversary and to have the maximum impact, I mean, Academy Award time, come forward, you know.
They do have one weak spot, and that is that they're so predictable.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So, you know, people who have a heart, who are really connected, are much more unpredictable and much more resourceful. So in the end, we always win.
Okay, I guess it's just part of Agenda 21 then, huh? To depopulate the earth.
Ain't going to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Basically. And make money at it. So if they can give everyone cancer, they'll make a whole lot of money while they depopulate the earth.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
So, you know, a not so clever plan, but effective.
Okay. Well, thank you anyway. Thank
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm. Hi. Who's with us?
Gerald.
Hey, Gerald. What's your question for Catherine?
I have a question for anyone that will answer me. What are the people? What are the people that are creating all of these chemtrails and playing with all of these hearts? What are their families living off of that is neutralizing the effects of their grandchildren? What are they doing that we are not doing? They're polluting our planet. They're killing us off one by one. What are they doing so different that we don't know about?
They're not. They think that
their grandchildren are going to suffer the same things that we are.
Yes. Well, they think that if they have enough money, they can buy the best doctors on earth. They buy their own.
I was on a conference call yesterday, and people in New Jersey and people in Atlanta were telling me that the snow was not melting, but it was catching on fire, and it smelled like burnt rubber or plastic.
Yes. I'm aware of that. It seems there was a bacterial substance in it as well. I think this was their last hurrah.
It's really getting incredible, you know, that you said a couple of months ago, I was on a call and I asked you a question, and you said a couple of months ago that all of this was neutralized and it wasn't having any effect.
And
the reason I'm asking this question is because my aunt has two tumors in her lung, in her right lung, mm-hmm. and when she goes outside, she starts coughing and hacking and choking, and she's extremely susceptible and sensitive to the entire energy. And I'm wondering, what are their families living off of that we don't know about?
Well, there are cures for cancer. I'm not saying that the cabal necessarily has them all, but they've hidden them. So
okay.
They may be getting a little better medical care than you and I, but
okay.
They're so arrogant that they think that they can fix anything, you know, with enough money. That's basically their approach. So they think that they can poison the earth and that they will survive. Of course they won't.
Dean and her grandchildren and Prince Philip, who was extremely sick a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
They have all the money.
Oh, yeah. But they still get sick.
I know.
So, no, they're not immune. They just think they are.
Oh, okay. So it's going to happen to all of them as well as it's happening to everyone else.
Yes. Eventually. I mean, they may, you know, gain a few months or a few years by extreme medical care, but no, they're all affected too.
Do you know anything, Catherine, about there's a lot of information about graviola as being something that really helps from the Amazon? But in the process, there seems to be an entire organization that is in the process of destroying all the trees that have graviola in the Amazon.
Oh, well, I didn't hear that, but that was bound to happen. First, they tried a smear campaign to scare people, you know, into not ever trying it.
Right.
I don't know about the recent research about that, but it's not the only one that's available. I mean, there are lots of the person who really started, made popular the idea that a diet could rescue you from cancer was a man named Max Gerson about 60 years ago, and he was drummed out of the medical profession entirely. He had to go to Mexico.
And Charlotte Gerson has followed all of his teachings, his daughter, I believe, Charlotte Gerson.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, he was really treated like a criminal.
Yeah.
And it was not until, you know, the last 20 years or so that doctors were even permitted. There were laws passed in California where he originally practiced. There were laws passed to say that a doctor could not recommend anything to their patients other than radiation, chemotherapy, and surgery. And if you were a doctor
right.
and you were caught talking about make sure you eat your broccoli, you could lose your license. So, you know, we need to have a perspective here. It's getting better. We're not there yet, but they've had to go underground.
Okay. I'm asking these questions because I was in the States for a number of years, as I've discussed with Tom many times. And then I come back to Canada, and the chemtrails are just unreal here in Richmond Hill, Ontario.
Really?
I've never seen anything like it in my life. It's 17 planes in one day crisscrossing the sky.
Oh, my. Well, I used to see them in New York, and they are not there anymore.
Okay.
And where I live upstate, I never see them anymore. So it may be that they've shifted their operations or they're going where they think they can get away with it. But
okay.
It is changing. And I think this last one is going to be it. I think they tried to get away with it. But the Galactics are on it. So I'm not worried about it.
I'm just wondering if we're going to get through this and survive at the rate that they're trying to kill us off.
Oh, no, there's no question. I know someone who came to one of my workshops last week. She had been with her father in the hospital, had spent a lot of time with him. He was going through the death process, and she was there with him a lot, and she developed an infection on her leg, and she was told it was one of those flesh-eating bacterias that you're supposed to die from. And she started working on it. She raised her vibration. She sent the healing energy, and she has healed it. And in the 2 days that she was in the workshop, it changed. From the morning when she got there until the afternoon when she left, she took off the bandage and showed us. And she had a picture that she took of it that morning. And she showed us the picture versus how her leg looked then. It was all healed over. The redness was not completely gone, but subsiding. Clearly, it was not a life-threatening thing, but it had been a big infection on her leg. Raise your vibration.
They can't kill you. How did she raise her vibration that day?
Well, we do the exercises. You keep working through your affirmations. I am love, I am light, and I command the experience of perfect health. And your cells will respond, will obey. We are fundamentally psychosomatic. So when you insist that your body heal, it does. I can give you a little technique. I healed a couple of things this way. One of them was a stroke. And probably brought on by Lyme disease. Two things. You concentrate on your immune system. You picture the bone marrow, which is where the white blood cells are produced. You picture your bone marrow producing the blood cells, and I picture them as little soldiers with white coats. Send it into your bloodstream and send it to the place that is the problem. And there is no disease that can survive it. If you focus and aim and send that energy to wherever it is that the problem is, if it's a disease or some kind of viral or bacterial infection, you can knock it out in a day. If it's an injury or a stroke, something like that, you send the stem cells from your bone marrow to the place that needs rebuilding. And when we send a stem cell, if you have an injury to a bone and you send a stem cell to a bone, it will create and knit together as it will create a bone cell, because that's what our body knows how to do. It's how we grew in the first place. So when you have an injury or an inflammation or even a brain lesion, if you send a stem cell to that brain lesion, it will knit together because that's what the cells know how to do.
Excellent.
They've seen it.
Thank you, Catherine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You've answered my question, and I appreciate your time. I'm sorry I took up so much of it.
Oh.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
God bless, Tom. Bye-bye.
So this is how we, this is part of the healing for ascension, is to learn to take part in your own healing. And also have faith that our body really knows how.
Let's just review those three steps again. I think there are three that you mentioned, the three statements, the affirmations.
Oh, I am love, I am light, and I demand the experience of perfect health.
Mm-hmm.
And you say that to your entire body. And as you do it, you anchor down into the earth, into the center of the earth, and up all the way to Prime Creator. So you create a flow of energy that will flow right through you like a river. And there is no disease that can survive that. I am love, I am light, I demand the experience of perfect health.
And who do we have with us live on this call?
Hi, this is Judy. I wanted to, first of all, say thank you to the both of you. Both of you are, Catherine and Tom are my mentors, and I'm very picky about who I choose for my mentors. And I had it, this song keeps coming to my mind, like with the RV and the delays. It's character building because it's forcing us to come together and perform rather random acts of kindness and to extend a hand to each other, to reach out to each other, despite not having any money or having very little, and
mm-hmm.
forcing the best out of us. And we're coming to realize that we don't need money to be kind to each other and to love each other and to create love within ourselves. We don't need money for that. And this is an extremely powerful lesson for me.
Bravo.
And, you know, and even with the cabal, I listen to Tony's calls. His website is tntdinar.com, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole thing is I'm learning to not judge the cabal, even though I want to take action and I have emotions, but I'm not judging them anymore. I'm able to let go and to love, to forgive. And in my daily life, I'm learning that because I've almost been brought to my knees by my life experience, and there's no other way to go except forgiveness and love, you know, to sort of let go of these shackles that have been holding me back and keeping me going around. But, and so this song comes to my mind. In 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans and we caught the bloody British in the town of New Orleans. And then, and Tony is like, old Hickory said, we can take him by surprise if we didn't fire our muskets till we looked him in the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But he's sort of telling us, hold your fire until you see the whites of their eyes. Okay, and now today he said, okay, guys, and he's telling us exactly where to point our you know, ammunitions or whatever, our energy. So,
mm-hmm.
It's very interesting, and I sing that song while I go for a walk out loud.
That is great. And so appropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Colonel Jackson, was Jackson the guy that the president that said, is that the same Jackson in 1814? He said he's the president that survived, I think it was three or five attempted assassinations on his life. Is that the same person?
Yes, it is.
And he said, I killed the Banks on his deathbed. He said, that's what I did. That's what I came here for. That's what I did.
Yes. That was his platform when he ran for presidency, and you're right.
Yeah.
Five attempts on his life. Two of them point blank, right at his chest, and two misfires.
Yeah.
Right, they talk about somebody who's protected. Huh?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Good job to do. He did it well.
And, he was it was forthright and outright about what he was there to do. He was honest and upfront, and that makes me wonder, you know, that's why he survived, because he was right up front about why he was there, you know, wasn't making any bones about it.
Exactly. It's a good, that's a really good example. Thank you.
All right. Was that it?
One other thing is that also this, another piece of the puzzle is coming up here. This is in the Hollow Earth, Who Needs Light call, I think this Wednesday. They're going to have children and teenagers asking questions, or that's the subject. And that I think
mm-hmm.
is extremely wise, because that's a whole part of the population that we have been neglecting. And now we're bringing them to the light. And these are the forces. These are the forces that are going to help us defeat the cabal, because of their energy and their light, their fresh light workers. And it's kind of exciting. It's ingenious that somebody thought about that. I think it was Father God that mentioned it, but that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be the final piece of puzzle that is going to push this thing over, you know?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I hope a lot of teenagers call in.
Yeah.
Yes. Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Hi, who's with us?
This is George, and I have two things. First, I need instructions on how to carry through with sending the 300, in which I'll have to send in installments. How do we send a check? How do we do direct it?
If you go to the news page, there's a link there. Just click on it, and it's an order form, and then just follow up with a normal methodology of paying. And if you want to do it in parts, that's fine. Just send a copy with the order, and we'll take care of business that way. No problem. Was there another question?
Okay. The other question is reference to the cancer. In addition to the power of God, Spirit, there is hundreds of cancer cures outside mainstream medicine that's been here for years, and some of them are very effective.
Right.
So all I could say is look outside, quit listening to your doctors about cancer, and look elsewhere.
Yes.
And that's it.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that reminder. Hi, who's with us?
Hi, this is Marlis again. I had to get on the cancer bandwagon there. Last I was reading about turmeric, the spice turmeric, supposed to be the one thing that they really say gets to the heart of the cancer, because it gets to the cancer stem cells and stops them from reproducing. So turmeric's a good one. And also black cumin seed oil, C-U-M-I-N, cumin oil, black cumin seed oil. A couple of them that are actually pretty cheap. There's so many of them. They're so darn cheap. It's amazing.
Right.
Now you know why they're hidden.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
That way.
No, they can't. Hey, I was going to ask Catherine something on this, and I was thinking about those credit cards that were compromised, supposedly, or credit and debit cards through Target prior to Christmas. And it just never measured up to me, because they first were saying 40 million people's credit cards were compromised.
And it sounds like Target is bragging.
Oh, yeah, and then they come out and say 70 million. I'm thinking, my gosh, there's 250 million adults in the United States. Not everyone has a credit or debit card, and that would mean that one out of every six people would have had to go to Target store sometime between Black Friday and the 15th of December. And I'm just thinking, you know, I don't even think that many people went to Walmart and a much bigger store, and I just, And then the numbers just didn't add up, and I'm just like, how can this be? How can this be? And then Vix Weir of Road to Ruta just came out and said that it was possibly the banker's way of pocketing money and blaming it on hackers, and that they were able to, you know, basically pocket the money, blame it on hackers, and
hackers were bankers then.
The hackers were the bankers, yes.
Yeah,
I just couldn't figure out that the numbers should not add up, and how could this be? And pretty soon they're going to come up to 200 million, probably all Target shoppers too,
including all the babies who have.
Yeah, the babies too. They all have debit cards, right?
And their dogs and
dog, cat, and the goldfish, you know. Oh yeah, but what I couldn't figure out is if the bankers pocketed the money, basically all they have to do is make another entry on the computer and the money's refunded back to the bank, right? And back to supposedly to the people who supposedly got it ripped off from them.
Well, that would be the cure, you would think.
Well, I mean, isn't that what they usually do if there's some sort of fraud on somebody's card or account or something?
Yeah, you're responsible for $50 or something is typically, in this case, for hacking, I don't think that's even, I think.
There wouldn't be any, but the banks really don't lose any money either way on this, right? Because all they do is make an entry on the computer, right?
Well, they probably found a finesse way to, if indeed they were the culprits here, and there's a good possibility they were. They're getting desperate for money. Their lifelines are being choked off one after another worldwide. So they're trying.
They're getting creative.
And so, just like when remember the New York thing, the Sandy hit New York. When was that? A couple of years ago.
Right.
It wiped out 44 Water Street, which held all the birth accounts.
Remember? Oh, that was so nice.
Bonds, both electronic and the physical bonds. Well, that should have stopped their whole operations right then, instantly, because they had nothing now to base even the pretend fiat game on. But they just said, well, what's one more fraud? We'll just pretend it's there.
Yeah.
We'll just go on as if it was there. We'll just pretend they're still there, and that's our pretend security. What stops them at this point? They're so deep, you know, in the dark, it's like, what's one more? You know, what's one more fraud? What's one more event to them? You know, I'm pissed anyway if they catch me, so I might as well just keep on keeping on.
Well, here's another thing they're doing. You probably know about this already. So a person gets checked into a nursing home for something, maybe doesn't have too many relatives hanging around, doesn't have much money, so they got to sign over their Social Security check every month, and oh boy, not enough money for that, so you got to sign over any real estate property you have too, and all of a sudden the person winds up dead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, am I wrong, or is this happening?
Oh, gee, my gosh, we had an overdose here. I'll be darned.
Yeah. And, you know, I worked at a nursing home when I was in high school, and I'm sure something like that happened. I mean, I'm sure I witnessed it, and none of the other nurses seemed upset. It seemed like I was the only one. And I was a 16-year-old girl, you know. So it must be par for the course or something.
Well, remember, the roots of the drug industry came from Nazi Germany, Hitler's reign. They bombed everything except the pharmaceutical, the chemical plants. They made sure, don't bomb them, because we want that technology saved, because we're going to be using it someday elsewhere, and they brought it to the U.S. of A. Aren't we proud?
Yeah. Let's keep in mind this is all being reversed.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but, yeah, thanks, Catherine.
Yeah, but sometimes these are the companies that are going down and going
down.
Well, that's kind of fresh in my mind because I just heard of somebody else that happened to last week. So,
Well, there's more and more in the news, too, even in the mainstream media, about over-prescribing drugs and, you know, how this has been a whole promotion. I don't know if there's still, I don't watch TV, so I don't know if there's, every other program has three drug advertisements, but
it does.
There are as many drug advertisements as there are car advertisements. So I think people are beginning to really get it, you know.
They really are, Catherine. You know, and I'm waiting for everything to happen. I've been working as a cashier. And if there's a job a person could do that has a good across-the-board pulse of what's happening, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, yeah, the people, you know, coming in buying their food and stuff, I mean, they're getting it more and more and more. I mean, it's phenomenal. And, yeah, I mean, you guys can measure it with your testing, you know, but I see it right on because I deal with these people every day. And, yeah, there's definitely an awakening, definitely more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Catherine, I know it's getting late I'm used to late.
Yeah.
And we have a few more hands up. Do you want to take a break here and call it a night, or you got?
No, I'm happy. If everybody has gotten, I mean, I think everyone's gotten a lot of information. I hope we've answered a lot.
Oh, we have.
People's questions. So.
I mean, I'll continue. We've got four hands up. We can zip to them here if you like, or we can break here. What's your pleasure?
You have four more questions?
Four more hands up.
If people would agree to make it a really quick question, let's see how fast we can get through.
Marching orders, guys. One question and right to the point. We'll see if we can zip to these people quicker.
No second questions or conversation, just a quick one.
What's your question?
Hi, good evening. It's Bernice in Connecticut. Enjoyed all the conversation as usual. I actually have two questions, but I'll start with this one if I'm not allowed to ask two. Regarding the NDAs, can you comment on that in terms of the contract rate and the NDAs? Because I've been reading that we really shouldn't sign them because they commit a lot of us. To the process and leave us open to a lot of liabilities?
We've been told tonight by Father God that none of this is enforceable, first of all. You know, not comfortable to sign something that you have been told is not enforceable, but my sense of it is if you cash in and at the same time have checks made out to everything and everybody other than the bank where you're cashing it in, they won't have any power over you to begin with if you don't deposit your money with them. So once you create other accounts separate from the one where you signed the NDA, most of the stuff in the that's toxic. Has to do with, you know, if you leave your money with us, you have to buy annuities or, you know, we're going to tell you whether you can take your money out or not. Well, if you don't deposit it there, they have no control over you.
How do you cover the funds, though, if you don't deposit them first so that you can write a check?
You don't write the check. You have cashier's checks made out before you even deposit the money.
Okay, you just tell them to make out a cashier's check.
Yeah.
This and that is your payment. Okay. That
mm-hmm.
makes sense.
Yeah. Pay off all your bills. Send checks to, you know, charities, your friends, your neighbors, your other bank accounts. And, you know, leave $10,000 for them. And then they can argue with you about what you should do with it.
So in other words, what if you want to then open an account in that bank later? Can you use one of your cashier's checks to do that, and then it still won't be associated with the cash out there, or not to do that?
Why would you want to go back to a bank that you don't trust?
I don't trust any of them.
Oh. Well, there are some local banks that are good, and credit unions.
Right. I heard that credit unions, you really can't do large amounts of money. And, yeah, local banks, there are some local banks here. But, I don't know any local banks that aren't FDIC insured. I mean, do we want to choose banks that are not FDIC insured?
Well, they all
buy. Sure, they all are.
Yeah, by their charter, they actually have to be. Even your credit unions have the equivalent of it because they're all chartered through the Fed. So they will have that. But there are the smaller ones, regional ones, reasonably, right? With Basel III and the new rules coming in, these guys are being watched like a hawk, and they will get caught. I mean, in the old days, they would bounce money from, bank to bank. After about three bounces, it would disappear, go off the radar. And that's how they were thieving and stealing from us worldwide. With Basel III, they'll track it forever. You can hip hop, every blind account you can think of around the planet, and they'll still find it. So it's a toughie for them.
Okay, so if you do take the contract rate, okay, and I read also that, they make you leave some money in their bank, that they won't allow you to get it all in cash, and that a cash out, you might be able to get a few cashier's checks, not a lot.
You don't. If you don't like the deal that they give you, go to a different bank.
Right. I guess you can walk out. So if you, let's say you do cash out, let's take Wells Fargo for an example. Then you get a few very large cashier's checks, and you would make them out to what? You would have it made out to you or to a trust or any of the above. Okay, and then if you want to, let's say you have an account at Wells Fargo, and then at another date, the next day, you want to deposit one of those cashier's checks in your account, will that still be separate from anything you signed on an NDA, or would the NDA at that location have any effect on your money?
I have no idea, but why would you want to put it back in that bank? Why not get a different account? I mean, it takes nothing to open an account. You can have accounts in 10 different banks if you want.
Right. You could spread it around. Okay. So then it would probably be wise to cash out at a bank other than the one you want to use.
I don't know the answer to that. Tom, do you have any suggestions about that? I don't.
When you walk in with a bag of dinars, we'll just say, and you plunk them,
mm-hmm.
you say, well, cash these out for me, please, with cashier's checks. First, they may not know you, so they say, well, first, we have to have all the information. And they'll very likely want to, and perhaps are required by their rules, internal rules, set up an account for you first to actually deposit them into, and then you can, as a customer, are now able to get a cashier's check or a personal check or business check, whatever kind of account it is. So they may require you to have an account first.
Oh, yes, they will.
And thus, once you do that, then they may put some limitations that they have to sit there for so long, certain amounts. And, I don't know what's in that NDA. Each bank may be a little different.
Mm-hmm.
If you turn down their offer and go somewhere else and find, well, it's the same raw deal, or a deal you don't like, if you wanted to go back to the first one, they probably, they may have some problem. You may have a problem with that, getting an appointment again, because they usually give you one shot per bank, I think, is the way I'm hearing.
But there are lots of banks, We're not going to be limited to.
Oh, true. You may want to even go to one that you don't assume your preference, your first choice first, just to walk through the experience and read the darn thing and get a flavor for it, mull it, say, I'll think about it,
mm-hmm.
then go to the one you really wanted to go to and cash out, just to have a little, because, you know, what you're not supposed to talk about it, right? So who are you going to review it with other than yourself?
So right.
You might consider that strategy. Go to your second or third choice first and see what it's all about. And see what.
That's a good suggestion. Well, what I've been doing is just taking up accounts at a lot of different banks.
Getting ready to deposit chunks in here.
And then you can always close it.
Okay. Right. Well, you want to spread it out, but I was just thinking in terms of, because they were saying for the contract rate, you can only get that once if you choose to get it. I was thinking not to do that because I didn't want to sign an NDA. I was thinking just to take the lower rate and not have to worry about being followed for 10 years, you know. And
that's what they're hoping you'll do. That's what the cabal is hoping you'll do. They're doing it to scare people.
Right, and I've had that thought also, but, you know, I just didn't know.
We have been assured that it is completely not enforceable.
That's good news.
The new paradigm energies also, you know, some folks started to try to do that. They would, I just don't feel it'd be successful, even if they tried.
No. Besides, we're probably not going to be here in 10 years.
Right.
But what I'm talking about the rest of the time that's put here. They were saying that it could be confiscated and taken away from you, and they have all kinds of tricks up their sleeve.
Spread it around and don't worry. The more you think about these things, the more you make it occur.
Right. Well, I figured I'd ask the question because it pops up a lot on the different sites, you know, about the Dinah.
Yeah, but that's the old paranoia, you know, that's 3D thinking.
Yeah.
So keep your energy high, spread your options around, and St. Germain said, take the money and run.
I like that.
So do stick with it, yeah. All right, well, we're going to move on, and thank you for your call here. And we got another
hand. Hi, everybody. It's Judy in the UP.
Pretty quick.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, Tom and
Catherine,
appreciate you being here. More on that cancer. I had been researching this for a few weeks now because my dad had been ordered to have a bone scan, and that was for good reason. And it turned out good, thank goodness. But I found out a lot about curing cancer with baking soda. And a doctor won the Pulitzer Prize back in 1947 and proved that cancer cannot survive in an alkaline environment. Now, I knew that years ago, and I wish I had known it sooner. But these people have had, okay, here's mainstream medicine. They consider a success a cure if somebody has survived, not necessarily in good health, but survived for 5 years after diagnosis. And you know what their rate of success is? 3%. 3% mainstream medicine. Mm-hmm. The baking soda therapy, their percent, 85 to 89% success, and that's 10 years survival.
Mm-hmm.
Now, which one would you pick? So here's the names to look for. Dr. Mark, S-I-R-C-U-S, Circus. And he's got a book out. It's an e-book. And then there's lots of stuff by Donald J. Porter. And he tells his therapy. And then among his writings is something from a truck driver who has worked with over 200 people himself in advanced stages of cancer, and he's had an 85% success rate. And he's got a 3-week therapy program. Very, very simple. It's in one paragraph.
Wow.
Yeah.
Post it.
Right. And it's still online. It's still, you can still find it. But it's gotten too big now to avoid. So folks, if you know somebody that's it's all open. You know, I can't believe that some people would have these statistics. You show them, send it to them, and say, look at here, 85% versus 3%. Which one do you want to do? This one's cheap. This one will cost you a fortune and hurt a lot.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
This you might be familiar with Dr. Brzezinski and his trial.
Yeah.
A lot of the doctors that came up with some of these wonderful cures were just hounded out of the business, had his laboratory wrecked, all his files confiscated. Finally, his patients rebelled, and he was jailed. But people are beginning to win these cases, so get it out there.
Okay, that's all I was going to do, because keep it short and sweet. So thank you, Catherine, for all you do, and Tom, always love you. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
One of the, you mentioned it earlier in the call, Catherine, you said all illness is psychosomatic, I believe, or something close to
mm-hmm.
that. And we've had a number of chats now around cancer. And
uh-huh.
you know, I've...
Hey, that was an interesting slip.
Yeah, well, actually it is anger is what I'm getting to. That's why it was a good slip. I have a chart on my BioRenew site, as you no doubt have seen, or many of our members have, that
mm-hmm.
show, well, it's about 300 ailments, diseases, whatever, and cancer always comes down to anger. So there's an anger root somewhere in that person's life, or they carried it over from a past life, wherever, however it got there. And I've seen people just release the anger, and the cancer is just poof.
Yeah.
So, you know, the psychosomatic is correct. We do literally create our own diseases. Now, if somebody injects a poison right into your bloodstream, you know, like an inoculation, well, it takes a little more energy to raise your vibrations as you
right.
in that case. But as far as the chronic type diseases, which most are arthritis and cancers and all the other things, blood pressure problems, they all come down to one of three things. Either it's anger-related, fear-related, or sorrow or sadness-related. And then there's subparts of each of those, but those are the three elements. So if those of you are familiar with our BioRenew, just be aware
mm-hmm.
we have a fear clear, an anger clear, and a sorrow clear, all homeopathic that work. So use that in conjunction as well with any modality you're doing. I like to do everything, you know.
Right.
Take your supplements and, you know, do all the good things. Drink the alkaline water, and as we heard tonight, and then do your energy work, as Catherine pointed out, and you know, use all of the above tools. Right now we're on the last stages of the old paradigm, and, you know, clean out that old gunk.
Right. Well, I think there's another element underneath all of those, too, and that is self-hatred, a lack of self-respect, not enough self-love.
And that comes down to either an anger or fear root, well, anger. And
right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, worthiness. In fact, when I test people, I always check, are you worthy? And you'd be amazed. Well, you know, we wouldn't be, but...
wouldn't be, right.
Most people are amazed that, you know, that's 80% or more, maybe 90% don't feel worthy.
Well, here's how I see that paradigm, and that is that the unworthiness is underneath the anger and the sadness and the fear.
And I agree. It's really what creates the anger, the fear, however, and the other one
is
not doing unloved. And that's another one. You test people, if you do kinesiology or whatever method you use, you find most people feel unloved. You do a session around that, you find the root of it, clear it out, test them, and ooh, strong. And it can be removed very, very rapidly. We do it through QE. You do it with, again, the name of your process? Catherine?
Visual centering.
Visual centering.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever method, use them all. Try them all. Find out, you know, combinations. Find out what works for you and works best for you.
Ultimately, the connection, when you get to the center and you connect with Prime Creator, you feel love.
There you go,
And that's the cure.
Open the window, reconnect back to Source.
Mm-hmm.
And I like, whereas I think on one of your calls I heard saying, get in touch with your God self. We're all God.
Right.
You know, go ahead, admit it. Come on, get over it. You're a God. Calling your God self. Start talking to your heart through your God self. And acknowledge yourself. And a lot of people people run from that, you know, at first. Oh, my God, I can't do that. That's whatever, you know. And
I was arrogant.
Yeah, exactly. What do you mean?
Heaven forbid.
Fun.
Yeah.
And the other call, I said, get over it, you know.
Get over it, right.
Accept yourself.
Uh-huh.
And,
all right, well, it's getting real late here,
yes,
so.
It is. It's the bewitching hour, and thank you so much. You've been a delight.
It was great fun.
And we did. We had a great time, and thanks to all our good guests here tonight as well. So, Catherine, I wish you the best. And
to you, too, and all your lovely followers. They're really, this is great fun because people are so informed, and their questions are so interesting. So, thank you.
And thanks to St. Germain. You're
right.
You say the better half or the other half? Now, which is it?
Oh, the other half.
Okay.
We're both the better half.
Two better. Well, thanks so much. And good night.
All right. Thanks, Tom. Good night.